Next up, we're going to hear from Andrea Cote from the Wyoming Department of Health.
So today I'll discuss the health effects associated with carbon dioxide and benzene exposure in a school in Wyoming. So Midwest is located in central Wyoming and it was established on the Salt Creek oil field by the booming oil industry. The town is remote and small with a population of 418. The Wyoming Oil and Gas Commission notes approximately 550 active and abandoned wells within a mile radius of the town. Midwest Schools, the only school in town, is located within the red box on the map. 170 students, preschool to 12th grade, are located in one building. Within a half mile of the school, there are approximately 140 active and abandoned wells. So, on April 4th, staff and students of Midwest Schools returned to school after a week-long spring break vacation. Both staff and students noticed an unusual odor, described as natural gas, sewage, and rotten eggs. On May 25th, staff and students in one area of the school complained of an intense natural gas odor. School officials called the local utility company for inspection of a possible natural gas leak. The utility company did not find a gas leak, so the oil company who owns and operates the surrounding oil wells was called. Air quality testing was conducted in and around the school with portable air monitoring units. High elevations of carbon dioxide were found. School officials closed the school building, and they notified the local health department of the school closure and asked for assistance. On May 26, the oil company hired a consultant to perform air quality testing in and around the school. The Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry were advisors on the sampling plans for the school. Elevated levels of carbon dioxide, volatile organic compounds, including benzene, and a decrease in the level of oxygen was found. School officials elected to keep the school closed until air samples returned to normal. The local health department requested assistance from the Wyoming Department of Health and ATSDR. On May 30th, the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality performed subsequent testing. Testing demonstrated carbon dioxide remained elevated as well as oxygen remaining low. On May 31st, school officials relocated staff and students to an alternate school 1 hour away from Midwest. During June, air quality testing in and around the school continued. While the oil company inspected active and abandoned wells near the school to identify a source. On June 27th, the results of all air quality testing were sent to ATSDR for interpretation. In July, WDH initiated a study to examine a potential short-term health effect to staff and students due to exposure of elevated levels of carbon dioxide and VOCs in the school. On August 9th, ATSDR released an evaluation report on the elevated levels found within the school. ATSDR used guidelines for carbon dioxide, oxygen, and VOCs from multiple regulatory agencies. The Environmental Protection Agency states carbon dioxide should not exceed 1,000 parts per million indoors for a healthy school environment and can cause symptoms of dry eyes, wheezing, and cough. Occupational Health and Safety Administration defines oxygen deficiency as less than 19.5%, with initial symptoms of behavior changes, dizziness, and fatigue. ATSDR reports an acute short-term hazard if benzene levels exceed 0.009 parts per million. Initial symptoms include drowsiness, dizziness, and headaches. EPA guidelines for other VOCs vary by the chemical. The results in the table are a range of air quality testing in and around the schools. The samples are taken for multiple days, had continuous elevations in carbon dioxide, with the highest reading at 85 times the exposure limit. Oxygen was deficient, and benzene was 200 times the minimal risk level. In light of the high levels within the school, WDH initiated a study. The objectives were to characterize the symptoms experienced by staff and students, determine if the symptoms varied by time, and determine if the symptoms varied by location in school. A link to a Google Form questionnaire was emailed in July to staff and guardians of students. If the electronic questionnaire was not complete, WDH staff attempted to call the individual 3 times. The questionnaire included demographics, location in school, symptoms experienced, and odor smelled during the time periods. The time periods chosen were April 4th to May 15th with potential exposure, May 16th to May 25th with known elevations in carbon dioxide and benzene, and VOCs, and May 31st to June 7th when staff and students were in the alternate school. 137 completed the questionnaire, with less than half of the students and majority of the staff participating. However, the sample size is predominantly students. 8 staff who did not spend time in the school were excluded from the study. 63% of respondents were female and 37% male, with age range from 4 to 67 years. Age was grouped into 3 categories, ages 4 to 12, ages 13 to 19, and over 20 years. Respondents were asked about 22 different symptoms in the 3 time periods. The respondents were classified as symptomatic if they reported 2 or more of the following symptoms: headache, chest tightening, shortness of breath, wheezing, worsening of asthma, skin rash, irritated skin, dizziness, and eye irritation. These symptoms were chosen because of known association with exposure to carbon dioxide and benzene. Respondents were not reporting 2 or more of these symptoms were classified as asymptomatic. We compared the respondents across the time period using McNamara's chi-square of repeated measures and symptomatic respondents by age group and location using Pearson's chi-square. During the time period 1 and 2, when students and staff were in Midwest schools, symptoms were significantly higher than the 3 time periods when students and staff were in the alternate school. Air sampling conducted at the end of the 2nd time period demonstrates known exposure. The difference in proportion of symptomatic respondents from time period 2 to time period 3 was statistically significant. To determine if there were any differences in those reporting symptoms by where most of their time was spent in the school was divided into 2 zones. Zone 1 consisted of preschool to 6th grade and the cafeteria, and Zone 2 consisted of 7th to 12th grade and the library. During the time period 2, 18% were symptomatic in Zone 1 and 37% were symptomatic in Zone 2. The proportion of symptomatic individuals was significantly higher in Zone 2 compared to Zone 1. Zone 2 had the highest measured levels of carbon dioxide, benzene, and VOCs in the school. The highest levels were concentrated within the red box. To evaluate the difference in those reporting symptoms by age, respondents were split into 3 groups. 4 to 12-year-olds were the referent group. The proportion of symptomatic individuals was significantly higher in both older age groups compared to the youngest. In summary, the proportion of symptomatic respondents was highest when in Midwest schools and lowest when in the alternate school. A higher proportion of individuals had symptoms in the middle to high school zone compared to those in the elementary zone. Older students and staff were more symptomatic compared to the younger students. The study had several limitations. The first is bias. The questionnaire was emailed 1.5 months after the school evacuation, leading to recall bias. The second is response bias. The staff and students knew they were evacuated for elevations in carbon dioxide and benzene. They may be inclined to identify symptoms even if they did not have any. Third is reporting bias. Those completing the questionnaire may have been the individuals with symptoms, while those not may not have had symptoms. The evacuation occurred during the spring when symptoms of upper respiratory infection and seasonal allergies were highest. Testing conducted in 3 time periods would provide a better comparison. No individual exposure data was collected. It is assumed that air quality data is the same as personal exposure. According to the oil company, the source of the exposure was from an improperly plugged well adjacent to the school. The well was fixed and plugged correctly. The following recommendations from ATSDR include: the school should remain vacant until remediation is complete. Air quality monitors should be placed in and around the school for continuous monitoring. WDH recommends the school adhere to the EPA guidelines for healthy schools, which helps schools assess and improve indoor air quality. And lastly, the mitigation effort for Midwest schools are underway. A mitigation system has been installed, and recent air quality testing is within limits defined by the ATSDR report. The hopes are to open the school for the 2017-2018 year if the repeated air quality testing is within normal limits. I'd like to thank the following people.